Welcome. This is Talking Hoosier Baseball for Wednesday, March 2nd, 2022. I am Carl James, joined by Cassidy Palmer and Chris Feeney. Josh has the night off. We're going to recap a week of baseball, which included a huge event down in Texas, in which Indiana went 1-2, defeating Louisiana, taking losses to Arkansas and Stanford, and the home opener. After almost 2 years, fans, a lot of them, back at the BART. So from that perspective, it was a fantastic week. Hoosiers end up, that was a big win. Hoosiers end up going 2-2 on the week. So we got a lot to talk about. Chris, why don't you get us started?
Well, for me, I mean, I was really excited for the Arkansas matchup. You know, facing the number two team in the country. I know it was a neutral site and the weather was poor and it was pretty much an empty stadium from what I understand. But, you know, I really thought, you know, it was a test for us to see what we could do. Again, there was some unforced errors, walked in a run, some poor play in the field. We got robbed by the ump on that one play. All right, I'm not going to accept that either. But, you know, it made it 4-0 instead of 3-0, whatever the case. To lose 5-2 to them, we battled. It was a ball game, right? We didn't get smoked. We weren't outclassed. It was nothing like that. I thought we did well against them, honestly. And you know, their Friday guy was out for the season. Their Saturday guy pitched plenty well, just enough. I think he had like 10 Ks, Connor Holland or something. He was good, you know, real good. And we hung in. Pine had the big hit to get the run to start us off. We had the rally. We left too many guys on base, honestly, in that game. We had opportunities against the number two team in the country with their Friday/Saturday guy on the mound. I was disappointed. I got to tell you, man, for us to hang in like that against them and then just for it to just not happen, a couple, guy on third with two outs, couldn't get him in a couple times. But you know what? We hung with them, and nobody could say we didn't. And I was impressed with that, but still disappointed because I think this team is good. And to show up against number two team in the country, you know, we had a shot, and we just didn't pull it off. Obviously, Saturday was great. First win of the year. Perkins throws great. The bats came alive. We had an inning where we scored more than two runs. Those are essential. you know, it was exciting to finally see these guys get some results from the effort. And I remember I texted you guys after Friday night, like, yo, that was two in a row against good team, Clemson, who was still undefeated, by the way. Mm-hmm. And in Arkansas, and we're hanging out. I said, we're going to get one. We're going to break through, and we did. And Louisiana Lafayette's a good team also, right? Mm-hmm. They just came out of a regional. I think they hosted a Super not too long ago. So,
and they had a good opening week. So,
right. And they beat the ranked team. They beat UC Irvine. They took the series against them. Sunday, Sunday was Sunday. 13-0 loss to Stanford. But I got to tell you, early on, I thought we battled. I thought Reese was pretty sharp. Obviously, and I wanted more. You know, I thought, wait a second, but then it got out of hand with the run rule, and you never want to see that. That's kind of embarrassing, but it is what it is. And of course, last night at the BART, finally back. You know, I put on the Twitter account, like, yeah, we won, and that was awesome. But just to see people back there was just so good. I remember, I guess it was a family member. You know how last year they could have family there only, and a couple of the kids were having a catch one day. I saw a catch happening at the BART last year. And even that, I was like, oh, that looks cool. But, you know, Tuesday was everything. You know, it was regular, the whole thing. I'm not sure what happened with the Chick-fil-A, but I'm looking into that. I'm not sure why we didn't get that to take case. There's a controversy. But it was great to see them. Everybody at the games, right? Students, I got there a little late, but I heard the student section was packed in the beginning, and that's really a good sign. I'm glad the fans are back into it. What was it, 1,800 people?
1984.
It was 1984. Mm-hmm. 1,984. Really good to see. And we played well. I mean, obviously, that's not the competition of Clemson or at the Round Rock, but still won.
Yeah. I think, though, it shows you what – even in a short term, what playing competition like that does. Mm-hmm. You play competition like that, and then, you know, you've got the process, the team's got the processes built, and then they get in there, and now they're seeing, you know, they're not seeing you know, 93, 94 all the time. They're seeing, you know, 88, 89. And boy, those balls just start flying out of the park.
They sure were. We have four homers?
Yeah. Yes. Four of them. Yep. And largely not cheap ones either.
No, no. They were banging them off the back of the bullpen wall, I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you know, Tibbetts' second one went over the second wall of the bullpen.
Well, yeah. Right. The one he pulled, but the Oppo one hit the back of the wall.
Yeah.
He's got power. Oh, man. You could hit that Oppo back of the back bullpen wall.
Cass, what do you got for us?
Well, for me, I of course pull up some stats as I'm going. I take a look at what's standing out. And now I don't have yesterday's game in my stats yet. Those midweeks take a little bit of time to catch up on. But through this past weekend, one of the biggest things that stood out to me was the at-bats with runners on third and fewer than two outs. Including Tuesday's game, we've had 17 of those at-bats on the season and just two strikeouts. That's kind of insane. And there was just one of those at Round Rock. That more than almost anything else on the offensive side tells me that this team is going to do all right. When you're facing Clemson at Clemson, first real time outside, all of that opening weekend, and Clemson is still undefeated. They are not a cupcake team anyway. And then you've also faced number two and number six at the time that we played them. Like, you're seeing some of the best pitchers. So for this offense to not be striking out in those key times, despite a higher than we would hope total K rate at 34% of at bats on the season, that's a touch high, but they're not striking out when it really, really matters, when just putting the ball in play will likely score a run. So that's the biggest thing that stood out to me. And then quick glance, there actually hasn't been a significant difference facing lefties versus righties on the mound. It's within 10 points of each other. And while there are more strikeouts against lefties, there's also more walks, higher walk rate. So that really stood out to me that it kind of doesn't matter which side you're going to throw from, this team, someone on this team is going to hit you. That's really encouraging to see.
Yeah, I think to add some color to that, Cass, and because I saw the when you shared those with us, and because of that, there was a point while Garrett Creech for us did most of the question asking last night. There was one point at which no one was asking a question, so I went ahead and said, "Oh, this is my chance," and I threw in the question to Coach about, you know, about making contact with a runner on third and less than two outs. And Coach specifically said that, yes, they are taking a different approach. And I kind of combined that with the question I asked on Zoom over the weekend. So that the kind of the piece I see there is that, and I think it goes to your second point too, Cass, which is that, you know, they're hunting for fastballs in specific zones. Mm-hmm. So again, that probably doesn't make a huge difference lefty or righty when they're looking for those. And then you add to the fact that then, yes, so if they're going to try to get more, the pitchers are going to try to get more aggressive, the left-handers are probably going to throw more breaking pitches, and which are going to go outside the strike zone more. But he said, so basically he said that they go to they're looking for three zones with no strikes. They're looking for five zones with one strike, and then anything in the strike zone with two strikes. And basically said they get more aggressive when there's a runner on third and there's less than two outs. So they're looking for, he wouldn't specify what number of zones or whatever that happens to
right.
be. But essentially they're more, they're getting more aggressive earlier in the count. Now it hasn't yet produced a ton of results.
Mm-hmm.
Although you look yesterday, it finally did. I mean, interesting enough, I think it was an error.
Yeah.
But it's like, but the point is, you put the ball in play in a stressful mm-hmm. situation, good things can happen.
Make them make the play.
Yeah, make them make the play. And a couple times they, I mean, as I said, I think that was the thing in the earlier losses is that, well, they were, we were making them make the play and they were making the plays, whether it was a short pop fly. I think we had one that like a comebacker to the pitcher.
Yeah. Like you would expect the number two and number six team to do.
Yeah, really good defensive teams. And these are this kind of quality of team, an SEC team, and Stanford. I mean, talk about Stanford. They were just watching that team play. And it may be that, you know, in the grand scheme of things, some of these other teams are going to catch up. But Stanford is a relentless team. The mm-hmm. plate approaches were exemplary. The defense was solid. All those things you would expect from an elite team were there.
Yeah.
And yeah, there you could have said, well, we could have done this and that. IU was just was not in it for that particular game because Stanford was on the whole weekend. But then they went on Monday to San Antonio and got beat. So
yeah. But it's also midweeks and.
Fourth game in 4 days, yeah.
Yeah, while traveling.
I think Coach also said that they're working a lot more with the spin ball machine. So when they've been practicing in more intense situations, practicing hitting breaking pitches, making contact, seeing breaking pitches. So I don't think that's been as big of an issue. He did, though, also mention, though, when talking about, you know, the fact that I think part of what leads to the strikeouts to some degree is expected because they are looking at strikes early. If they're not mm-hmm. in zones where they think they can clobber the ball, they're going to wait until there's two strikes, which is going to get them into more two strike positions. More two strike positions are going to lead to more strikeouts. But it's a trade-off I think they're willing to make in order to get more hard contact.
Yeah.
Which is where they're going right now.
But that's where I feel like that's where baseball's going right now, right? You're trading the head high line drive for the strikeout. You're trading the long ball, not that Mercer wants the long ball necessarily, but for the strikeout.
Yeah.
And it's different. It's a different game. You're really trading the strikeout now. Not that we want it, but, right. You know, these guys have an approach.
You make weak contact, especially against a good team with a good defense, most likely it's an out anyway.
Yeah.
So. And look at it. We talked about this. We got swept. And how many Indiana had how many strikeouts that first weekend? That pitching?
A lot. 41.
Yeah.
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 Doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't by any means say you're going to lead to wins just because you happen to get your outs via the K.
Yeah.
There's a lot of value in a ground ball.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, with such a young team anyway, kind of, I know it's not necessarily always going to be the case, but early in the season with this many young guys, I expect a few more Ks anyway, just right off the bat.
The 22 left on base is big though for the weekend.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, that was bothering me. We have an opportunity, like just watching and listening. Like, more guys left on.
Yeah.
Like, if we had a couple of big hits, we could have gave Arkansas a run. I really believe it. Or at least got on the board early versus Stanford and made that a game. Just happens, though, right? At least we had opportunities.
Yeah, and again, I don't – honestly, that doesn't bother me. And the reason why is because it's really one of those things that overall is just not all that controllable. The runner on third with less than two outs, that is controllable. Because that's about putting the bat on the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once you put the bat on the ball, you don't know what's going to happen to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they make a phenomenal play and get it, you tip your cap to them. But for the most part in that situation, you put the bat on the ball and it's going to be a run.
I say, though, it was much different than that first weekend, right? Because the first two games, I feel like we barely, except for two innings, right? The first and the second inning of Saturday, there weren't very many opportunities. Mm-mm. So that was a big improvement this weekend, even in the losses, is that we're getting guys on, we're having chances. And I think he definitely changed the lineup a little bit. I mean, he said he was going to, so we kind of knew. But seeing the new lineups that he's playing out, I think it's still a work in progress. Like, how do you have a Brock Tibbetts batting whatever he was, seventh? That's not lasting.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So the point is, a lot of someone like Tibbetts was able to demonstrate what it is he's capable to do. He gets into the lineup. But also, I think a big piece of the difference there is that you have Morgan Colopy the first weekend versus Morgan Colopy the second weekend. Colopy has got to be a big piece of this offense. And the fact that Colopy showed up second weekend and made a vast improvement was a huge piece of this.
Yeah.
And the point is, there, for the first time, there was only one time where I kind of felt that there was a fairly full lineup last year. That would have been after the Iowa series. And then it just tapered off after that. And this is the point that there's no point at which I'm like, hole in the lineup is up.
No, wait, we got Josh Pine batting eighth. I mean, come on. Yeah. Give me that all day.
So yeah. I'm saying this is not something we've seen in a while, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bottom of the order was definitely an issue. I mean, when the catcher got hot last year, that just showed how much it improved, right?
Yeah.
Because, he got hot for 2 weeks.
And good Lord, did he get hot.
Yeah. But having Pine at the bottom of the order, we were even noticing that at Clemson.
Yeah.
Because he seemed to have a good approach right off the bat. Mm-hmm. I mean, we really got something then in him. The freshman to start in that environment to play well. Coach was talking him up for his defense over the weekend. I don't know, man. I did not think we were going to get this much this early from him, and it's a big plus.
Yeah, and while Matheson's bat itself hasn't been all that hot, man, is he getting on base.
Yeah.
He had 3 walks yesterday, got hit by a pitch. While he's not hitting all that well, he's finding ways to get on, and that's –
I feel like the same with Dones, right? Dones has had a lot of walks and whatnot. Yep. He had that one hot game.
Yep.
He had thoughts hitting too. You know what I mean? Because I know we want him on base, but hits are, either way, get him on. But
yeah, he's up to 8 walks already on the season.
But what's he hitting? Like 200 maybe?
Not counting yesterday.
He had one hit yesterday.
095 before yesterday.
That's what I'm saying. But he's been on base a ton with the walks. He's going to start getting hot, right? He's going to start getting on base, too. That helps the top of the order. You got Dones on the top. You got Pine on the bottom. A lot of people on base. And you got the rest of these guys hunting for the line drives.
Yeah. And a good bit of speed on the paths, too.
Yeah.
Like,
Bobby Whalen's fast.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even Ellis is faster than I'd expect out of a catcher.
Ellis not fast. Come on.
He's not fast. He's fast for a catcher.
Is he fast for a catcher? All right.
He seems to be.
Too fast out of it. I'll take his bat, though. That's okay. Oh, he can run slow. He hits it over the fence.
Yeah, hit it over the fence. You can walk around the bases. All I care.
Oh, yeah. It was great just yesterday being there. And then such a release for them, I feel like, right? Because they win the game Saturday, and it was a bit of a blowout. But then they get kicked in the face on Sunday. Carl said it. Stanford was outstanding. And then they rolled the whole weekend. I don't think they lost the game the whole weekend.
Yeah.
That Stanford is good.
Yeah. I think they moved up to number 2 in the rankings.
Did they?
I think
in one rankings. Actually, in one of them. D1 didn't move them at all. D1 kept them at 6th.
Really?
That was actually something they had to.
They were there.
Yep. And they tried to justify it. They're like, basically what they come down to, and they said that their thought on this was that, they moved Arkansas down one spot. But their thinking is just Arkansas hasn't caught fire yet.
Yeah.
For Stanford, it was simply, they said no one above them did bad enough. Everyone above them won their weekend. So, like, Arkansas, yes, they got beat by Stanford in the one game, but they also managed to beat both Indiana and Louisiana. So they were 2-1 on the weekend. So they call that a winning weekend. They dropped them one spot, but they were going to drop them more. They said, we're not dropping the rest of them. And they're also, their argument is they're trying to be less reactionary.
That's fair.
And this is the thing for Arkansas, the big question mark was going to be the pitching. Yeah. And that's the one thing Arkansas has done well with.
Yeah.
Their bats haven't caught fire yet. And they're like, wait, those guys are proven hitters. They're going to hit. So
Stanford shut them out, right?
Yes. Yeah. Louisiana was the only team to score a run on Stanford this weekend. Mm-hmm. Stanford was
the one team that lost all of the games.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're good. They're a good team.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now we got this team. I don't know how good this team coming up is. I looked it up. It says they're 4-4. They haven't really played much competition, this Missouri State, but they have history.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They beat a Power 5 already. So
is it Kansas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they good, though?
Eh, it's not basketball.
That's what I'm saying.
Probably better than football.
I don't think KU is very good on the diamond.
Well, Kansas took 2 out of 3 from Illinois.
Did they?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And Illinois, and Illinois is a good team. I'm convinced Illinois is actually going to be a real threat in the Big Ten this year.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So maybe these guys are better. You know, I saw they were in the World Series in 2003. They've hosted a few Supers, Missouri.
They hosted fairly recently within the last. Well, it would have been. I think it was when I was a grad student. They hosted. Okay. Because there was a chance IU was going to go that way.
Oh.
And we'll don't see. Remember where
four
they ended
four,
up
they
that
got
year.
4-4.
Yeah. But they've got a gorgeous home ballpark.
You're going to find out.
Oh, yeah, because they play at the Springfield Cardinals. Double A? I think that's double A.
Ballpark. It's not on campus?
No. I don't think they have their own actual functional, like, game day ballpark.
Okay.
For weekend series, we've got Clemson, we've got a AAA ballpark, and now we've got a AA ballpark.
Nice.
We're playing in some pretty nice digs.
Victory Field, midweek game too.
Mm-hmm. So, nice. But I know Missouri State is typically at least decent most years. Just like any other team, they've got down years from time to time, and they've got great years where they host super regionals.
Right. So. 3 times. They hosted 3 times. Yeah.
Yep.
Ryan Howard was on that team. Brad Ziegler, I was telling you guys before, 2 major leaguers went there.
Yeah. And
there's a surprise that might be in the crowd, too. If you're going to these games, I'm letting you know now, keep an eye out for John Goodman. Okay. Now, when he went there, it was called Southwest Missouri State. They changed the name, but it's the same school.
Yep.
And John Goodman might be at the game. If you see him at the game, get a picture, please.
Well, it's not like the major leaguers are in spring training at the moment anyway. So
no.
You never know. Those guys could be there. And actually, I don't know why this connected in my brain when we said Brad Ziegler. But there is actually a teeny tiny little IU connection with Brad Ziegler in that he seems to have a bit of a habit of placing bets on the Kansas Jayhawks basketball team and not necessarily being successful in those. And he bet that Kansas would beat IU back in 2017. And the penalty for losing that bet was that he had to enter the game to 12 Days of Christmas by IU's Straight No Chaser, and he had to keep playing that until he gave up a run. And so that, I don't know why that stuck in my head since 2017. We're how many years after that now? And
I remember that game. I was in like Maui or something.
Yeah.
Or in the Bahamas.
Yeah. And so that was stuck in my head of Brad Ziegler, Straight No Chaser. Those two are just associated in my head. Yeah.
I don't like Ryan Howard at all, so I'm definitely going to root against this team. Ryan Howard gave me some nightmares. The Phillies were very, very good against the Mets with Ryan Howard.
Oh.
Yeah, but just so if people don't know, the games are at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Eastern Saturday, and 2 p.m. Eastern Sunday out at Missouri State. It's Central Time there, but those are the times for here for Eastern Time. We got 2 midweeks too, right? Cincinnati at home and what is it? What are they called now?
Purdue Fort Wayne.
I keep wanting to say IPFW. They are in my stats as IPFW.
But what's the real name?
Purdue Fort Wayne.
Purdue Fort Wayne.
They are still the Mastodons.
Yes. Oh, I know they're the Mastodons. That's one of the best, the best team, mascots, I think. Maybe next to the Paladins of, what was that, Paladins?
Furman.
Furman, the Furman Paladins, yes.
Yeah.
I would like to see Furman against the, it would be the Paladins against the Mastodons would be a good
Yeah, game. Unfortunately, Furman doesn't play baseball anymore, so.
COVID? It was because of COVID, right?
It was right, yeah. They gave it up after COVID, yep.
Yeah.
Damn.
And they were good, more, too. So
I think more correlation than causation on that one.
Yeah.
But.
Yep. Now we got five games this week, two at home. If they both get played, maybe there's some bad weather. You never know.
Yep. Yeah. And two out of the three weekend games will be on ESPN Plus for those unable to make the trek to Springfield. If you do make, if you do make the trek to Springfield, I highly recommend. It's a little bit out. It's between Springfield and Branson, but Lambert's Cafe, home of the Throwed Rolls.
Ooh.
I haven't been to this one.
I haven't been to this one, but I've been to the one in the Boot Heel, the other side of the state, and it's always an interesting time. So for those making the trek,
I went to the one near Springfield. So yes,
it's not that I want to say it's about 20 minutes by car, depending where you are in Springfield. So
it was. I'm not going to say how many years ago, but it was. Yeah.
There's also a very large Bass Pro Shop for those interested.
Those places are fun. Josh told me about those spots. We went to that big one in Memphis with the pyramid. Mm-hmm. And Cass is going to be there. She's going to be press boxing it or bouncing around the stadium, depending on the weather, getting us some intel.
Yes. Yes. I am in my sixth year living in the state of Missouri, and this is the first time that IU has ventured into the state to play. So. Well, I'm still hoping for that Mizzou series at some point. I will settle for the shortest drive I've had yet of just 2.5 hours.
Nice. Oh, and I looked real quick. Looks like terrible weather for this Mastodon game. So don't get your hopes up. 70% chance of rain, 34 degrees.
Oof.
It was 35% chance the other day. This is.
It went up. It went up.
That's even worse than the chance of rain on Sunday in Springfield. At least there it's supposed to be upper 50s, maybe low 60s, and just constantly storming.
Oof. But
that's not 34.
Big sun. Cincinnati looks good. 50s and sunny.
Yeah. That's how Friday looks for Missouri. For reference, we hit 81 here today. So
make the trip if you can.
Yeah, it should be pretty darn nice Friday and Saturday. Sunday, I'm not so sure.
Maybe doubleheaded Saturday, you were saying, right?
Yeah, I would not be surprised.
Okay.
I did have one point I wanted to make in case, IU is currently 2-5. I was just to open up the season. I am definitely of the opinion that opening records don't necessarily mean a whole lot, but I kind of wanted to put that in a context that that folks can understand. So I looked up IU's opening seven game records starting in 2012, and I've got them in, let's see now, four different buckets. So as I like to bring my team in on this, so when the team gets three wins, I'm not going to say it went 3-4 because there's a weird one in here. When the team gets three wins, what are their postseason? Where are they? How do they? How do they do as far as getting into the postseason?
Ooh.
3 out of 10.
So three times they've had three wins.
Out of how many games?
Seven.
Oh, fair. Seven. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're same point we are in the season now. Yes. So out of seven, I say that because it's 2-3-4s and 1-3-3-1, but
first seven games.
Yes.
So three wins out of the first seven. I'm going to go lost at home in the regional.
Well, I'm not going to say how they did in it, just as far as their placement in the tournament.
Host.
All three were at-large bids.
Wow.
Oh, wasn't even when we won the tournament.
Not even Big Ten, yeah.
Oh, wow.
No, that's with three wins. How about with six wins? There were two times.
That's got to be Holt.
Six wins.
I would say we're in, but I'm good. Number says that maybe not.
It's split. One time we were in, one time not. So it was at large bid because that was last year. 6-1 last year. Did not make the tournament.
Yep.
I know it's a weird year. It was all Big Lions.
Very different from Clemson, yeah. Arkansas, and Stanford.
I tell you, I know Mercer had a big non-con bill for that. You had to know he did.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that must have burned him.
I just assume he does for every year.
Yep. Five wins.
5 wins out of 7. That's got to be
happened twice.
That's a limo. There was a limo one we started off real hot, yeah. Right?
That was not in limos. Nope.
I'm gonna say both are regional teams.
One is a regional host, and eventually a College World Series team. The other one we don't know because COVID canceled the season.
Oh, we had 5 for that.
Uh-huh. Yep.
We had some good wins too. East Carolina, LSU.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. 1 win. There is a year with that's worse than this one. There was a 1-win year in this stretch.
What year?
I'm not gonna say that.
I'm not gonna say because that's gonna give it away. Did they make the regional or not?
I'm gonna say yes.
No regional. No tournament. 16 no
that
tournament.
That is correct. Yes. That was the Fullerton suite. Was in that.
Yeah. Oh yep.
The payback for the series at the bar.
Yes. Yep. My dad was at that series. So all right. So the last group then there is left is there are 2 prior 2 and 5 starts.
Well, that has to leave the loss to Stanford. Hosting being a national seed.
That is correct. Number 2 in RPI, top 8 national seed, started 2 and 5.
Yep.
Well, Carl, if you go 21-2 in the Big Ten, it helps.
Doesn't matter that you start 2 and 5.
Right. Wow. So but we beat Texas Tech that first game. And we won opening day that year. Tenado mm-hmm. beat Texas Tech.
Yep.
The other one was in no postseason. That was 2012. But yes, that 2014 team started 2 and 5 and had the best regular season probably in the history of the program.
Yes.
So
definitely the best.
So basically what it shows is there is a full range of possibilities still open with a 2 and 5 start. So.
Yes.
No greed. The
sky is not falling yet.
And as I said, so far none of the losses are anything. I mean, it got blown out. It's like, yeah, it got blown out. But the way Stanford was playing this weekend, they weren't going to get beat this weekend.
No.
And you got a couple of games, like you said, the Arkansas game and the last Clemson game were competitive. So
mm-hmm. And winnable. Literally winnable.
Yeah, and you're seeing the progression that the team is making. And so you got an opportunity against what looks to be at least a really good possibility of being a good team in Missouri State, really taking care of business in the home opener. I think there's a lot to be positive about at this point.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we got bread belts that are positive.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. You ready, Cole? You ready?
Yes, I got three. Let's do it.
All right. So for the pitching red belt for the Joey Donato Award, this one to me is very obvious. He got us our first win of the season. Jack Perkins, 5 innings, 7 Ks, 2 runs scored. Obviously pitched the Saturday game against Louisiana Lafayette. It was great to see him get the first one. I feel like with his experience, could he have been a Friday guy? Sure, maybe he could have. But this is his role Saturday, kind of like others have filled that role and done really well. And he stepped up and we needed it. We hadn't won the whole year. And we're playing Louisiana Lafayette, who's a good team, okay? So Jack gets the Joey Donato Award. For the Defensive Player of the Week Award, we got Philip Glasser. Big play on Sunday, getting in the hole. Didn't get turned 2 on the play, but it was still an outstanding play. And he played solid all weekend. And really, the defense, there was some good standout plays over the weekend, but Philip Glasser really stood out. And I think he's real important. D1 had just wrote up that with his moving from a lower level team with Youngstown State to coming into the Big Ten, it was Kendall Rogers, right? He wrote that. Mm-hmm. And it's really stuck out that he's been fine here on the Big Ten level. Mm-hmm. And not only that, he's a leader on the team. So it's good that his defense you know, is always there and it's solid. Up the middle needs to be solid, right? Dolan's, Glasser, Whalen, and then the catcher, whoever is playing catcher, you know, right up the middle has got to be solid. Now for the hitter, I got to tell you, there was a lot of different choices over the weekend. But then yesterday, some guy hits two bombs in the home opener, and you know he has to win. So Brock Tibbetts gets the offensive, the Alex Dickerson Award. He had two hits, five RBIs, and two home runs in the home opener, the most attended home opener in the history of Buck Hoffman Field. You know, 1,984. Usually it's much colder, obviously. I've been out there in winter coats. The freaking Xavier team built a snowman the first game I ever went to the stadium in 2014. Tracy had people bringing shovels to shovel the field so that they could play. But, you know, best home opener attendance-wise, Brock hits two bombs. So he's going to get the offensive player. And just something to point out for him, he started Friday's game. You know, it was four games this week. Three strikeouts. Okay? So as a freshman, three strikeouts could ruin your whole weekend. We know how mental baseball is. All right? He strikes out three times on Friday. He did hit the ball to third. There was that error. I think Pine scored, right, late in that game. But, you know, that was obviously the defensive error. But three strikeouts on Friday. Saturday, he gets two hits, scores two runs, drives in a run, and draws a walk. Sunday, nobody did anything. We're not going to bring up Sunday. But then home opener, you saw what he did. He showed his power. We talked about him when we did the high school recruiting stuff. This guy was a quarterback, a basketball player. He's just an all-around athlete. And I think he showed the student body, the fans, his team, what he can do power-wise. But as a freshman, of course, right, it depends on counts and confidence. And, you know, Josh brought something up over the weekend, like a freshman goes 0-2. You know, there's a lot you can do there. But if he keeps focused and focusing on those head high line drives, like I know the approach is about, he's an athlete. The ball's going to go over the fence, right? You hear Coach say it. So Brock gets the offensive, Jack Perkins with the pitcher award, and Philip Glasser with the defensive award. And we'll see who gets him next week. Maybe Cass. I mean, she's got eyes at the stadium. So she's got to really, you know, I'm going to lean on Cass for these next weekend.
Yes, and we'll all be leaning on Cass as far as being our eyes and ears and being able to give us some great insights for what's going on in Springfield.
Yes.
So best of luck on your trip, Cass, and enjoy.
Thank you.
It's for once you get to be the one that's in the special circumstance of getting to see the team.
that's very not usually the case.
All right. Well, that will do it for this week's episode of Talking Hoosier Baseball. As we said, Cass will be in Springfield this weekend, and we'll be watching and listening from afar, though we'll continue the content on our various social media platforms and on the website. Plus, we'll have the home coverage with our reporter, Gary Creech, for next week on iubase.com for the home games. So please visit iubase.com, and we will see you at the BART.